Hi guys, and welcome back to Lily White Rose, the Stars of Tomorrow Today. John Wenham here, hope you're all doing well, and thanks again for tuning in and downloading another episode. This pod can be downloaded on iTunes, Spotify, and across all major podcast providers. We're also on Twitter, @LilyWhite_Rose, Instagram, @LilyWhite_Rose, and Facebook, @LilyWhiteRoseN17. It's been a few weeks since I said that intro, and I apologise for that. I've just had so much going on with work, being a dad to two little girls, all the Twitter stuff, my work with Football Insider. I've become a coach at my daughter's under-8s football side and will be completing my level one coaching badges in January. So there's lots to look forward to, but it's just keeping me super busy at the moment. And obviously, one thing more than everything else in the last couple of weeks that's sort of taken over a lot of my time has been that appointment of Antonio Conte. And that's been very, very positive. I've appeared on 3 Last Word on Spurs episodes, so please do check those out if you haven't already, including one interviewing the brilliant Catton Martin from the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust. But yeah, Conte, I'm very, very excited about this. He is, in my opinion, the current top 5 manager in world football, and I'm really enthusiastic about what the next few seasons now holds for us. Think about your general mood and feeling towards Tottenham compared to just, say, 9 or 10 days ago, as we got pummeled 3-0 at home by a woeful Manchester United side who didn't even have to work for their win. Compare that to the mood among other Tottenham fans and yourself now. It's a feeling of positivity, it's a feeling of excitement, it's a feeling of the club is moving with a plan, with that double pivot with Fabio Paratici and Antonio Conte now on board. I think we've got really, really exciting times ahead. And I suppose the main question you guys probably want to know is, what does this mean for the youth at Tottenham Hotspur? After only 2 games and less than a week into the job, it's really hard to give any definitive answer on this. What I will say is that Conte is a results now manager. He'll be doing all he can to get us back into the mix for a top 4 finish and hopefully finally ending our trophy drought. Promisingly, I spotted Dermi Lasala and Max Robson back not only in training after really bad long-term injuries, but also training with the first team in one of Antonio's first sessions. I noticed they also trained today with the first team, along with the likes of Marcel Lavinia, Callum Cisse, Brandon Austin, Jack Clark, Harvey White, and Iago Santiago Alonso, and Dylan Markandy, with many of our senior first team players away on internationals. I also feel the appointment of Ryan Mason, a guy who knows all the academy players inside out, will give them a foot in the door when Antonio needs a few boys to step up. And you know, that appointment is just a win-win for me. I think the fact that it wasn't forced upon Antonio, we've heard Alistair Gold report on that this week. It was very much Antonio observed those first couple of sessions where his work permit wasn't in place, where Ryan was taking the sessions, and Antonio was very, very impressed with Ryan and the work he did, and he was the one that went out of his way to say, look, I want to make you a part of my coaching setup. So yeah, for me, I just think that's a really positive move, having Ryan on board. Ryan, as I said, knows all the youth players. They've all got a really good relationship with him, and they all respect and rate him highly. So it's just a win-win situation for me, and I'm delighted Ryan's on board and a part of Antonio's coaching staff. One player who is obviously ready to step up, and I was delighted to see make his first team debut from the bench away in Vitesse, was Dylan Markandy. He's now scored 10 in 10 Premier League 2 appearances this season, making him the top scorer in the division, and he's also registered 5 assists. The Barnet-born youngster is just putting up phenomenal numbers at the moment. And Dylan did a really cool interview with Jonathan Veal of Yahoo this week, so do go check that out in full. I thought there was a lot in that. Some of the snippets I want to share with you guys, that what Dylan actually said was, growing up in North London in Barnet, Tottenham has always been so close to home. I went to a lot of the games when I was younger. It's always been a club that I've massively loved. So to now be part of it and coming through the academy has been a great feeling. Being around the first team has made me want it even more. It has made me hungry, and I want to be in that environment every day for the next 15 years. The dream is to play for Tottenham for the next 15 years, playing every game. But obviously I know things might not work out and there are going to be ups and downs. For me, personally, the fact the club are sanctioning these interviews, added to the recent positive social media content you can find on Spurs Official on Twitter regarding Dylan, I imagine one of these things has happened. Either the club has a plus 1 year option in their favour on his contract, or he's already signed a new contract and it just hasn't been announced yet, or he's indicated that he will imminently sign up for a new contract. The club would not give so much attention to a player if they risk losing him on a free, and thus promoting him to other potential teams. The reason this contract stuff has started to surface around Dillon is owing to Spurs announcing last year that he'd signed up until the 30th of June 2022. As I said, please do check out that interview in full from Jonathan Veale at Yahoo. Really good piece, gives some information as well about what it's like coming through as a young British Asian player, and hopefully he can be a pioneer for more young British Asian players to come through. So yeah, definitely do check that article out. I really enjoyed reading it. As we are in the current international break, that's the place to move to next. So who's been called up from Hotspur Way? Maxim Paskotsky has had his normal call up to the Estonia senior squad, and he'll be looking to gain caps 9 and 10. Timothy Lotolata is with France under-19s and played yesterday during a 4-0 win over Albania. Lotolata has really cemented himself as their number one, which is hugely promising in a team full of future superstars. I'm also really pleased that Lotolata has recently, as I suggested on the last pod, taken over from Josh Oluwayemi to become the number one for the under-23s as well. So things are looking really, really good for Lotolata at the moment. Oliver Skip is with England under-21s and, in my opinion, will make his senior England debut before this season is out. I feel like he's not far away at the moment, starting week in, week out for Tottenham. I love the fact that it's already been reported that Antonio Conte absolutely loves Skippy already. That follows in the line of Pochettino, who loved Skip, Mourinho, who loved Skip, and Nuno, who loved Skip. So that tells you everything you need to know about Oliver Skip. Loved by all the managers, takes instructions on board, gets on with it, and I think it won't be too long until he impresses Gareth Southgate enough to earn a senior England call-up. And when he does get into that reckoning, I'm backing him to knock Calvin Phillips out of the starting lineup too. Dane Scarlett and Niall John are with England under-19s. Dane scored twice for England yesterday in a 4-0 victory to start their qualifying campaign in positive fashion and continued his phenomenal form for England, proving at the same time that his confidence has been in no way knocked, as some suggest, by playing with the Spurs first team. I've seen that mentioned a few times, something that kind of annoys me. I've seen people saying, oh, you know, he's going to lose his confidence, he's going to lose his morale and you know, his own ability by playing with the first team, you know, for example, in the game against Vitesse when we lost. But I don't agree with that. I think it's all good experience, you know, playing in big packed stadiums. Someone like Vitesse, us coming to town, is one of their biggest games for probably the last 10, 15 years. And I just think that will hold him in good stead in the future. As I've mentioned before, he's too young to go out alone at the moment, so that isn't an option. And he's too good for the under-18s and the under-23s. So I think it was the right decision for him to be playing in those games. And it has shown that it's not knocked his confidence in any way, because he's going away with England, playing two age groups up and still scoring twice. Isaac Solberg is with Norway under-19s, despite seemingly never playing for Spurs at youth level. He's appeared on the bench a couple of times this season, but he just does not seem to get a look in with so many talented keepers around, the likes of Luke Gunter, the likes of Timothy Lotolata, Josh Oluwayemi, Brandon Austin, Alfie Whiteman, Kacper Kurlewicz. We just have so many keepers at the moment, Adam Hayton, Aaron Maguire. He's just not getting any game time, but he continues to get picked for his country at under-19s level. Michael Matthew Craig has been called up to the Scotland under-19 squad. Troy Parrott is with the senior Republic of Ireland squad as usual. Pape Matar Sarr is with Senegal. I've added into this list that he's a young player who obviously has signed for us from FC Metz and will be joining next summer. But I just feel like I should include him in these youth international call-ups, as he is still a young player. William Andy Yipan is with Wales under-17s and started yesterday as they beat Ukraine impressively by 3-1. That was a really promising performance from the tough-tackling left-back, who's impressed me when I've seen him this season. I can also exclusively reveal that Luca Gunter, Rio Kyramaten and Jamie Donnelly have been called up for an England under-17 tournament that will take place in Israel later this month. I understand it is the strongest group of players that have been called up for that age group tournament that England are playing in. And obviously, it'll be interesting to see how Spurs under-18s do without three of their regular starters during that period of time. Highly regarded youngster Samuel Amo-Amuor scored for England under-16s in a 3-2 win over Belgium on the 4th of November. Samuel has already been offered scholarship terms by the club ahead of next season, and he also featured in that game alongside another THFC youngster in Jaden Meghoma. Moving on to the loans in recent weeks, Keon Atete has got a couple of goals and assists in the last few weeks. The 6'4 striker added to this with another goal and a further assist at the weekend in the FA Cup. This loan is now going really well for the 19-year-old, with 5 goals for the Cobblers already. Jamie Bowden has regularly been completing 90 minutes for Oldham and is now up to 15 appearances for the season. This is proving to be an excellent loan move so far for Jamie. Alfie Whiteman continues to be the number one for Degerfors IF in the Swedish top division, with the 23-year-old getting lots of first-team action. Janiel Bennett came on for 45 minutes on Saturday from the bench for Crewe and started against Wolves under-21s in the Checkatrade Trophy, and he was heavily involved in their opening goal during a 3-0 win for the Alex. Cameron Carter-Vickers has continued to start and be involved in every possible minute since joining Celtic on loan with an option to buy. The centre-back has also scored 2 goals and featured in the Europa League too. As I've said before, I believe Celtic will take up their option to sign Cameron as early as January. They're really pleased with the USA international's progress, and I'm sure that's one they'll look to get done bright and early. I believe the agreed fee is around £2 million, not a big deal, with his Tottenham contract set to expire on the 30th of June 2022. So Tottenham will be looking just to get that one done as soon as possible. Troy Parrott completed 90 minutes for MK Dons as they drew 2-2 with Stevenage Borough in the FA Cup. Troy has 4 goals and 4 assists so far this season for MK. And Pape Matar-Sarr got 28 minutes from the bench during FC Metz's 0-0 draw away to high-flying Marseille in Ligue 1. Sarr has been used in a variety of positions so far by Metz this season, including as a defensive midfielder and as a wide left forward of a front three. Our under-23s have been in good form in recent weeks. The informed Dylan Markandy struck again, but our under-23s were forced to settle for a point after a dominant display at Brighton and Hove Albion on Friday night. Having fallen behind inside 5 minutes to Jack Spong's free kick, we began to control the game from the midway point of the first half and deservedly got back on level terms at the start of the second period when Dylan Markandy drilled home from a tight angle on the right. Hammering on the door in search of a winner, Niall John and Jack Clark both hit the woodwork and Malachi Walcott planted a header wide, but we couldn't find the finishing touches in front of goal and missed the chance to leapfrog the Seagulls into the top four of the Premier League 2 table. We lined up for the Brighton game with Timothy Lotelata in goal, as I mentioned earlier. I'm really pleased to see him now regularly cementing himself as the number one at that level. Marcel Lavinia at right back, Callum Cisse at left back, Malachi Walcott and Toby Omole as the centre halves, with Brooklyn Lions Foster as a holding midfielder as he's played regularly this season, along with Harvey White and Niall John in the midfield three. And then it was a front three of Jack Clark, Iago Santiago Alonso and Dylan Markandy through the middle. I was also pleased to see Romain Mandale make a return from injury as he came off the bench on 71 minutes in this fixture. Under-23's coach Wayne Bennett, talking after the Brighton game, said, "Based on the amount of chances and opportunities that we created for ourselves, we feel disappointed that we haven't scored more goals. We hit the inside of the post twice and probably deserved to score more than one goal. I was pleased at how much we dominated the ball, and I think that if we continue to do that and play that way, we'll continue to create chances. As I said to the players afterwards, the most difficult thing is to score goals. We just need to be a bit more clinical and maybe a little more focused at key moments. But in terms of dominating the ball, dominating possession and playing in our style, we've done that tonight. We started disappointingly, and they've scored with one of their only shots in the first half after about 10 minutes. The majority of the game was played in the opposition's half. We sustained and maintained pressure throughout both the first and second halves, and we limited Brighton to very few chances. Our work ethic off the ball was also very good, and that allowed us to have the majority of the possession." The 23s also had a brilliant 1-0 win over Manchester United. Dylan Markandy scored a stoppage time winner as they defeated Man United at Stevenage's Lamex Stadium in a meeting of the two clubs' development squads in the Premier League 2, which took place just hours before the equivalent first team fixture at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The informed Markandy was on hand to drill home from inside the box in the 92nd minute after substitute Iago Santiago Alonso's cross had been cut out by Manchester United defender Bjorn Hardley. Dane Scarlett had previously gone close with a couple of second half headers, having earlier cut back for Marcel Lavinia to test United keeper Matej Kovar inside the opening minute, while the visitors' best chances came in the latter stages of the first period when Chola Shawtire hit the base of the post with a shot on the turn moments before captain Teddy Mengi volleyed over from close range. In the end though, Markandy was in the right place to bag his 5th goal in as many games, which combined with our first clean sheet of the season at that level won us the 3 points. There was a familiar face in the visitors' dugout with our former youth coach Justin Cottrane, who has also worked alongside under-23's boss Wayne Burnett at the beginning of his reign in the role of head of player development for Manchester United. We lined up for the United game with Timothy Lotelata in goal, Callum Cisse at left back, Marcel Lavinia at right back, Malachi Walcott and Toby Omole as centre halves, with Brooklyn's Lions Foster as the holding midfield player, with Niall John and Harvey White in front. And then this time it was a front three of Jack Clark, Dylan Markandy and Dane Scarlett through the middle. After the game, Wayne Burnett said it was a tough game. They've got some very good players, but I thought we edged it overall. We kept pressing, they kept pressing. It was a very open attacking game, but overall with the chances created, we probably deserved the result. You look at it standing on the side at 0-0 and you're still thinking that it's been an exciting match. We had chance after chance, got into some really good areas but didn't capitalise. But we kept pressing, pushing, and we made our pressure count at the end with Dylan, who is in a fine run of form. It's probably his best season so far for goal involvements. He's getting into positions that he got into last year or the year before, but now he's capitalising on them when he's in those positions. I'm really pleased that we've kept a clean sheet as well. We've continued throughout the season to create chances and score goals, but it's been disappointing at times that we haven't kept a clean sheet. As much as we enjoy scoring goals, if you're going to challenge in your league, you need to keep clean sheets as well. But it's really positive that we earned one today. Our under-18s have also had some excellent results in recent weeks. They claimed their first away league victory of the season, running out 3-1 winners with a dominant display at Aston Villa, making a fast start at Villa's Bodymore Heath training ground. We were ahead inside just 3 minutes as Jamie Donnelly headed home to continue his run of scoring in each of the competitive appearances for the under-18s he's made this season. We then had a flurry of chances to double our advantage but were unable to take them, something we were punished for 2 minutes after the break when Derwin Sewell rolled the ball home to bring Aston Villa level. We quickly got back on the front foot though and went ahead once more in 54 minutes when Jamie Donnelly showing some nice footwork in the box before finding the corner of the net. Substitute Callon Haysman then struck with 13 minutes left to put the gloss on a fine team display and secure a brilliant 3-1 away victory. Under-18s coach Stuart Lewis said after the game, "The boys were excellent today in a tough game. Both teams went for it and it was really pleasing to come out on top. I thought we showed really good resilience after being pegged back just after half time. To show that courage and bravery, to keep playing and doing the right thing pleased myself and Ryan Mason, and it was excellent to see the boys celebrate the third goal because they worked really hard for the result and the 3 points. On the overall balance of play in the final third, we've probably come away thinking we've not been as clinical as we would have liked, but there were still some real positives to take from the 90 minutes, and to get a win and a pleasing performance all round was really good." We lined up for that game with Adam Hayton in goal, Brandon Bryan Way at right back, William Andy Yapan at left back, Alfie Dorrington and Archie Chaplin as our centre halves, Max McKnight on the wing along with Ronaldo Torraj, Rio Kyra Matum and Dante Casanova started in the middle with Jamie Donnelly and Jaden Williams leading the line up front. I was pleased to see schoolboy player Han Wilhoff King also come off the bench after 76 minutes to make his full under-18s debut, having featured in the under-17s 9-0 victory over Arsenal earlier this season. The under-18s actually made it back-to-back league wins with a 2-1 victory over Brighton and Hove Albion on Saturday afternoon. Coming into the game on the back of their first away win of the season at Villa, as we just mentioned, the youngsters flew out of the traps against the Seagulls, took a deserved lead into the break for a stunning strike from Ronaldo Torraj on 36 minutes. That's a goal we really do have to check out. Ronaldo shared the strike on his Instagram channel last week, so please do try and find that if you can. Really good goal. That lead was then doubled 7 minutes into the second half with Rio Kyramentum neatly finding the target. The visitors did half the deficit on 63 minutes with Jack Hinzelwood lashing home from close range, but we remained in control of proceedings throughout and were fully deserving of the 3 points come the final whistle. Under-18s coach Stuart Lewis was delighted with the character his team showed to push on and get the win against Brighton, and with consecutive league wins now in the bag, he believes his side are demonstrating just how much they have already progressed this season. "I thought the boys were excellent today," he said at full time. "I thought after the first half we probably should have been 2 or 3 nil up. We had a real dominance and purpose to our play. Then in the second half, the boys showed how far they have come character-wise and as a group to come through and win the game. They were celebrating blocks, they were working, and I felt they really pushed each other on. There is a real work ethic within this team as well as individually at the moment, which is really pleasing. They are getting at it." The first team manager spoke on Thursday about sometimes in games you have to suffer and push through those moments, and I thought the boys did that today. I was really pleased for them that they went on to win the game and they'll grow from those experiences and moments. We lined up for that game with Luca Gunter in goal, Brandon Bryan Way at right back, William Andy Yapan at left back, Alfie Dorrington and Archie Chaplin as the centre halves again, with Max McKnight on the right, Ronaldo Torraj off the left, Dante Casanova captaining the side and Rio Kyramentum in the middle, and Williams and Donnelly up front as usual. On October the 23rd, a THFC under-16 side beat Manchester United away by 5-1 in quite a standout result. There's a few players to look out through from that group, the likes of Ollie Iroh being one of them. The young striker seems to have a real habit of finding the back of the net. I have around 75 listener questions to get through, so I'm planning on doing a special show just for those questions, actually, rather than putting those all out today. Otherwise, this will be a sort of another hour-long pod. So Yeah, I just want to say as well, thank you so much to everybody that's been checking in with me, asking me sometimes on a daily basis, where's the pod, John? Are you still doing the Lily White Rose pod? I absolutely am. As I explained at the start of the show, I've just had a few things going on in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, hopefully we can get back to doing these on a weekly basis now. I'm really grateful for the support, and thank you to all those guys that messaged to just check, you know, when the pod was coming. It shows that you guys really do like this pod, and I will continue to produce them as long as you guys like them. So yeah, that's it for this week's pod. Thanks again for listening. Please do retweet the pod, subscribe, leave a review on iTunes if you can. It really helps get the pod out to as many people as possible. And as always, the future's bright. It's Lily White.